Hello, I'm Philip Stoughton from My House to Yours. Welcome to EMS at Sea Level. I am joined once again by Paul Jonah from Vexus. Paul, we spoke last October and I had a little look back through that video to see what we talked about to make sure I was on message. And about 30 minutes in, we were discussing expansion plans and you intimated that you might be announcing something in the next few months. And true to your word, you've actually done that. So exciting to hear that Vexus are now in Mexico. I think it's a really smart move for you as a business. Tell me a bit about that and tell me what you have down there.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. Good to talk to you again. I gave you a cliffhanger and promised you breaking news. Well, here we are announcing the opening of our brand new factory in Juarez, just across the border from El Paso. It's a 40,000 square foot facility, brand new. We're just laying down the ESD floor and we're bringing in the equipment. We plan on starting production in end of April. It will be all managed by the team from Markham, from our Toronto team. They have grown a lot and they have a very strong engineering team. They'll be bringing down some people there. We've already hired a local general manager, Guillermo, with a lot of EMS and electronics experience, and he's hiring his team at the moment. But we have people already coming down on a regular basis, and we're talking to customers. Customers are very excited. There's the geopolitical concerns, why people want to go onshore. We have plenty of customers that are very happy with Vietnam. The production for our North American customers in China has decreased due to the tariffs, but has moved to Vietnam, and we see Mexico really as a new growth area. So with basically three growth areas: Vietnam, our new facility on the West Coast, and in Mexico. But we're very happy with our expanded global footprint. We have truly have a lot of presence now in North America, in Canada, two in the U.S. coast to coast, and Mexico in 3 months from now. That combined with our Asia footprint is going to keep us very busy in the near future.
Yeah, and I think it pushes all the buttons for the U.S. OEMs, but also for global customers. You know, you look at what U.S. OEMs are thinking about now in terms of some level of reshoring and decoupling with China, if that's something that's important to them. And you've got a footprint that allows them to do that with low-cost environment in the Americas as well as low-cost environment in Asia outside of China. So that makes a lot of sense. 40,000 square feet. How many SMT lines are you putting in?
We're starting right away with two Panasonic SMT lines. They've been ordered and they are on its way. So those are the first we will install in February, early March.
Wow.
And then all the other equipment, solderways, selective soldering, you know, ovens, all those things, right?
Yeah.
In inspection, AOI, X-ray. So that is going to be done in the next 3 months. I mean, we have done it in Vietnam with our China team. We're going to do the same now with our Canadian team in Mexico. But, you know, interestingly enough, it is also European customers that we're talking to now that have always been interested in also working with us in the U.S., but have a particular interest in Mexico now. So we have multiple European customers that have taken an interest after the press release.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely the case when I look at European OEMs there and European EMS companies, they're zoomed in pretty much on Mexico and thinking how can they utilize Mexico with the tariff arrangements to import their goods into or to manufacture their goods for the North American consumer market. So
we have 350 customers Of course, we got more customers with the acquisition. And everybody has their particular interests. Some people want to stay very close at home, like the close by engineering support, or want to have that proximity on to visit their manufacturing facility. So we have customers that want to stay very local. We have customers that want to stay local with us, but have the production in a lower cost, country. And in the case of Mexico, of course, they want to stay nearby or onshore. Yeah. And there's customers that are interested to go for lowest cost that you often choose for Vietnam.
Yeah. And when you look at Mexico, EMS has been there for 25 years now. It's grown as an ecosystem. There's a good solid supply chain down there, but there's talent down there. There's really good talent coming out of the universities that can fit straight in. What's that like in Juarez?
Well, as I said, we just hired Guillermo, our general manager, who has all that experience, and he's worked at several companies in electronics across several facilities in Mexico, and he has a whole network of talent. So we're bringing in the his own direct reports, and we have a so-called shelter company that helps us with bringing in all the direct labor and indirect labor.
That's great. And last time we talked a bit about talent, and you had a really solid approach to kind of sharing skills across different regions and training and developing your own talent. That becomes increasingly important the more facilities you add to your footprint, I guess.
Yeah, and as I, Juarez is going to be basically a satellite factory of Marken. We're going to put this equipment in there, Panasonic SMT lines, and we are going to, it's all brand new. And we have the opportunity to not just put a low cost facility there, but a world class facility. We will be sending, as I said, teams from Canada that will thoroughly train the people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and they'll be there until they're trained. And when you do that, do you basically build Juarez in the image of Marken? Are you basically using the same equipment set, putting the same lines in, maybe updated a little bit?
Exactly the same shop floor software system, Aegis Factory Logic. It will be connected with our ERP systems in Marken, and then be working short term autonomously. The idea is to have them actually become totally independent from Marken over time. But we're going to take our time with that, and slowly transition to total autonomy for the Mexican facility. And they'll be working with customers directly and not through the Marken team as we will do in the first year.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? And if you've got exactly the same line there, anything that is going on down in Juarez, Marken can assist on. As you say, they can train people. You can even use engineering skills remotely. You look at modern inspection equipment. You can interrogate it from a remote location as well. So you've got a huge benefit by doing that.
The other direction, we can start looking at supporting our facilities in U.S., Canada, from Mexico with administrative tasks, back office. Yeah. Jobs, etc., which of course are low cost in Mexico, and there's a lot of human capital available for those jobs in sourcing, in finance, etc.
Yeah, and you'll find the same in engineering, in programming. There are various things that can be done remotely that you can, when you've got a global team, you can manage the pressures of volumes and different dynamics much more simply. You grew to 250 million over the last 5 years. Some of that was with acquisition. Why choose to do a greenfield site in Mexico rather than acquire? Is it just because there isn't the available companies to acquire, or was it always something that you wanted to do?
We looked at it. We looked at it, and we didn't find the right company to acquire. Often the company came with other issues. We were interested in their Mexican facility, but we didn't want to acquire the entire company. We have a lot of very good positive experience with the greenfield in Vietnam, and we basically want to copy that. We have a very skilled team that can do this very quickly, we believe, and so we have chosen for the greenfield. We have a lot of what we call anchor customers. So we of course talked to several customers last year. Would you be interested if we open a facility in Mexico? And we found a tremendous amount of interest. Of course, customers do not fully commit until they see the facility.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what we will be doing in the next few months.
Yeah. When do you see yourself cutting the ribbon down there?
Yeah, that will be end of April. So we'll have a little party.
Oh, that'll be great. I'll probably be down there around that time. I'm going to go down straight after APEC.
Okay, so you're very welcome.
We'll spend some time in Mexico. That'll be exciting. So when we talked last time, we talked about the fact that you doubled your revenue to $250 million over the last, or you built to $250 million over the last 5 years, and quite rapid growth recently. The markets maybe softened a little bit in order intake. We've seen some of that bullwhip of inventory find its way through to customers, and for some EMS companies, that means that this year might be a little bit challenging in terms of growth. Where do you see it for Vexos in terms of your organic growth with the footprint you've got, the addition of Mexico? What are your expectations for this year?
Yeah, as I alluded to it last time, we do see that, you know, coming out of the pandemic and then in combination the very severe component shortage, especially with semiconductors, caused an overbuying by our customers in the end of 22 and during 23. And as you say, that bullwhip or that bubble is being pushed down and being consumed. But our customers believe that will last through the first half of this year. They have been pushing out deliveries. They have been pushing out orders because of their high inventory. During the tough days with the component supply shortage, people started overbuying. They started buying everywhere they could, and that's all come in now at the end of last year, and that's being, as I said, pushed through. But that bubble will be consumed, as I said, by the summer. Then we have several growth factors. I mean, one of course is our new facilities. That is bringing in a lot of interest. It's bringing in new customers. It's bringing in new programs with existing customers, and that has happened already with Vietnam. That's been ongoing for the last 2 years. Our facility on the West Coast never had a front-end organization. The founders really ran that part of the business themselves. Yeah. Now, we have, of course, connected them with our vast front-end organization. We have now we have 17 business development managers out in the field, mostly in North America. And that's already developing a very interesting funnel. So the control tech or Vexos on the West Coast will be very busy. And we see that, of course, with Mexico. So a very interesting funnel that will start where we start onboarding. And we're very busy with that already. And we expect that onboarding to happen also in 2 quarters from now.
Yeah.
So, We have quite a ramping in Q3, Q4.
Yeah, no, I think that's there. I certainly see that in the market, and particularly in the Americas, where I think demand is stronger than it is perhaps in Europe and elsewhere. So I think I think I would concur with that. When you have a year like this, Paul, and you look at it and you say, okay, well, growth is going to be slow in the first half of the year. we're actually making the most of that opportunity because we're developing our site in Juarez and we're doing further expansion maybe elsewhere. Do you look at that as an opportunity to kind of gaze a little bit inwards and think about operational excellence and you know, developing automation and really, if you like, honing the business's performance so when that spike does come back or that growth does come back in the latter half of the year, you're really ready to fly with it?
Yeah, you know, in our high mix, low volume, medium volume, it is very difficult to automate. But we do automate where it makes sense. Absolutely, we do shrink our call it our direct labor force where needed when business is softer. But of course, with our engineering, NPI staff, we are actually extremely busy these days.
Yeah.
We are doing a lot of prototyping, fast turnaround, manufacturing validation for our new programs. We are going to onboard 75 new customers this year.
Wow!
Across 6 facilities. So yeah, that's huge, and doesn't really allow you to reduce or
to relax,
do anything with your staffing, because you know, on the contrary, we are also already tight, despite business being slower. We're tight because of that huge ramp that we are anticipating, and it requires a lot of work up front. As you know, in the sales cycle, all that what I just mentioned has to occur before you can safely ramp up and scale up the
shipping volume.
Manufacturing.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely the case, and you know, I think that engineering talent's really important. And when I look at a business of your size and going to maybe adding another 50 to 100 million or whatever you're expecting to do, the target shouldn't be to do that with less people. It should be, can we grow the business with the team we have, and how do we put the systems in place to do that?
Balancing the direct labor force is of course easier in Asia. In North America, you don't want to start balancing with the production volume, because you have skilled labor and it doesn't make sense to balance and then rehire.
Absolutely.
So we hold on to our people and we keep them very busy with all the exciting NPI work that's being done right now.
Yeah, and that keeps them motivated. That creates a much stronger team, and that creates a much stronger team globally. What about inorganic growth? You know, we had a cliffhanger last time we spoke. What are you looking at this year? Are there any potentially new acquisitions? I think there might be some interesting opportunities in the market, as some companies perhaps aren't as well organized or as comfortable. And obviously there are continued growth opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be busy in the short term, keeping our new acquisition busy with new opportunities. They had a fairly stale funnel that we are reviving and also adding to. We're also talking to all their customers that remained fairly small because of limits on customer concentration with a relatively smaller company. Of course, those all have been lifted. So we're talking to their key customers about expanding with within our global footprint. And also, of course, we are very busy with starting up the facility in Mexico. So short term, there's plenty of work to be done. Longer term, the logical choice would be to expand finally in Europe as well. And I am in contact with with people on that as well. So
yeah,
and then of course the preference would be to have the manufacturing at least in Eastern Europe for lower cost, and let's call that medium long term. Short term, we are we're making sure that we do everything right the first time with our new acquisition and our new greenfield.
Yeah, I think it makes. I think it makes sense. Having Vexos Europe would be very exciting. But you've got plenty to chew on this year and keep you busy.
The trend you see with our global accounts, of course, is regional production.
Yeah,
they don't want to ship stuff around the world anymore on boats, planes. They want to have a regional production for their regional sales. And we see more and more. We do supply Europe from our Asian facilities, and that is going very well. But eventually, we'd like to also go local there.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And you know, the other reason I get excited about that regionalization is we end up with shorter supply chains, which from a sustainability and environmental point of view can't be a bad thing. You know, the less we ship goods around the world, maybe the better.
We've seen congestion in ports all over the world. We've seen freight costs going up and down.
Absolutely.
And we want to be less dependent on that, yes.
Yeah, there were some fragilities in the supply chain with respect to logistics as well as the component shortages. So that was certainly an area of identification that pushes you towards that much more regional model, which seems pragmatic and more sustainable in the long term. I look forward to seeing you in Juarez as you make your speech and cut the ribbon in the back end of April. In the meantime, thanks so much for your time. Keep us informed of any news, and we'll chat again soon.
Will do. See you soon, Phil. Thank you.